Most of my life, I've been in worshiping congregations where the sermon has had a title. And when I decided to go into the ministry and become a preacher, I adopted that practice. It just seemed to be the right thing to do. Now, my hope when coming up with the sermon title is ideally to be able to boil everything down to the essence of my message and just give it to you in a few words. And if I can't do that, I at least want to use something that is going to capture your attention and get you thinking about what might be going on. But there's a challenge here, especially as I do this for a longer and longer period of time. I've been here almost 10 years, and that means we've gone through the lectionary cycle 3 times. So some sermon titles that might seem like gimmies, like the perfect thing to use, have already been deployed. When I read this passage, I knew that I was going to title this sermon, Get Moving. But guess what? I used that last year on annual meeting Sunday. So I had to come up with something else. And another obvious choice made itself clear to me. Gone Fishing. I used that one about 5 years ago. So I began to despair about what I was going to do. And I feared that I was just going to have to come up with some kind of pabulum, some kind of placeholder that we could use in the newspaper ad and in the bulletin. And then inspiration struck. And we got the sermon title that you see in the bulletin. Thanks for all the fish. Now, do any of you recognize that quote? I see a couple of heads nodding, and I'm not surprised by the ones I see nodding, but a lot of you are just wondering what on earth I'm talking about. Ah, I heard that. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's right. It is the story of the hapless Arthur Dent and his friend Ford Prefect. And the reason we're interested in the story here today is that Arthur and Ford go off on their journey because alien race called the Vogons have decided that they're building a hyperspace highway and Earth needs to be blown up so they can put in an exit ramp. Okay? You following me? So our two heroes find themselves on the Vogons' ship, and a bunch of antics ensue, and they escape to another ship that is piloted by Ford's cousin, Zaphod Beetlebrax, who happens to be president of the galaxy. And along with him is some woman named Trillian and a depressed robot named Marvin. Now they go off on a search to find out about life, the universe, and the meaning of everything. And I'm sure some of you know the answer to that question is 42. That's right. So you can all go home now. But wait, you're saying, what does that mean? What does 42 represent? I can't tell you. Because apparently, the Earth itself was some kind of computer that was crunching away the data and was about to spit out the answer. And then the Vogons came and destroyed it. So we're all left in the dark. And you're still wondering, what does this have to do with fish? Well, it turns out we are not the smartest species on the block. No, the dolphins are smarter than we are. And the dolphins were trying to communicate to humans what was about to happen. Now, we being humans assume we know everything, and we just assume that they liked jumping through the hoops at SeaWorld. And they liked the fish, and they liked playing games. But they were actually involved in complex means of communication. And when they realized we weren't going to get the message, they were able to take off to another dimension. And being polite creatures, they left a final message for humanity: so long, and thanks for all the fish. Pardon me? So you're still wondering, perhaps, how does this tie into the scripture passage? Well, the first is the fish tie into our fishermen. But there's something more here, and we're going to come back to it. But let's focus on the story. Let's focus on what happens when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew and James and John. They drop everything and they follow Jesus. Now, as a preacher, and I suspect a politician or an influencer or some kind of celebrity, I'd love to have that compelling a presence that everybody would drop everything and do what I tell them to do. Frankly, I have difficulty getting my dog to listen to me sometimes. So think about Jesus here. Think about what he is preaching. He's following up on John's message to repent and to get ready for the kingdom of God, which was coming soon. And we know that the world is a mess, that the religious and the political structures were corrupt and broken, and people were hoping for something better. So Jesus came along, and people followed. They dropped everything. They gave up their lives, their careers. Who here is ready to give up everything? Who here is ready to walk away from his or her job and family and responsibilities and security, whatever you might have, and follow Jesus? Don't rush to raise your hands. Thank you, Jacob. The truth is that we don't know what actually happened. There are scholars who postulate that all of these fishermen actually knew about Jesus and his message before he came along, that they'd heard John preach, that they'd seen Jesus in action, and so they'd had a chance to ready themselves for a message they wanted to receive. Others suggest that it wasn't as cut and dried as the text makes clear, that perhaps they went and had a meal and a couple of drinks and they talked about the idea and whether they really wanted to do this. Okay, but that's not what's in the text. So we have this story about what? Who do we focus on? We're probably thinking about the fishermen and how they gave up everything. But what is the gospel about? It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And Jesus had a message, and in essence, it was a command. And the disciples obeyed him. Now, I don't think Jesus is asking us to do the impossible. Jesus isn't asking us to stretch out our arms and start flapping them and start flying because we have faith in him and we'll take off into the skies. But I do think Jesus may ask us to do the difficult, the inconvenient, the uncomfortable. Jesus may push us out of our comfort zones. When we read this story and we think about this enthusiastic response, some of us might be tempted to say, I can't do that, so I'm not going to bother, and I will just go off in another direction. But remember the whole story. All of those crowds that flocked to Jesus, that hung on his every word. All those people who lined the road into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They all fell away. Even the disciples faltered at the end. And these are the people that Jesus was working with. People like you and me. I think we may have misinterpreted the story and given ourselves an easy way out. But I think Jesus is calling to each and every one of us. And not so much asking us to be like lemmings who charge off a cliff, but perhaps to take a step forward. And then to take another step. I've told you all about my call experience. I discerned a call when I was in business school, and I did a pretty good job of ignoring it. And then I got involved in my church, and I thought that would be enough. But it still kept coming. So I got a degree. I thought learning about scripture would be enough, and that wasn't. So I finally went to divinity school. And then I got a lay job with a church organization. I thought that would be enough. And it wasn't. Fast forward, here I am. Sometimes I was kicking and screaming, resisting my call. But I know this is where I should be. And I know each of you here today has your own experience of God calling to you. Perhaps not into ordained ministry, but to go deeper into your faith, to explore the questions you have, to figure out how you can best help build the kingdom of God. Am I right? I see some heads nodding. That's good. I'd be really disappointed if I weren't. But when you look at this story and when you look at the call from this perspective, it's not as daunting. And there may be days where it's difficult. And each of us will have a different experience. For some of us, it will be like speeding down the highway with no traffic. And for others of us, the traffic will never seem to end and the potholes will be all over the place. And then we'll have to deal with detours and we'll wonder if we're ever going to get there. But I'm confident that God is waiting for us, for each of us. God doesn't want us to be like the humans in the story. Doesn't want to have to give up on us and disappear. God wants us to get the message. And fortunately, we have each other here to help us figure out what it means for us as a community and for us as individuals. So, let's listen to God. Pay attention to the signals and messages God is sending us. And let's repent. Let's turn in a new direction to face God and to turn away from the distractions that so often pull us away from his gospel. And then we can turn and say, thanks for the call.